This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blind Sleuths. All right. Today, we're recording episode 17, right? And I'm going to tell a story to you, Leanne, that I don't know if you've heard of because I had not heard of this. So I was just actually surprised when I first read an article about it a couple weeks ago. My story is called The Haunting of Lake Lanier.
Oh.
Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't think I do.
Do you know where Lake Lanier is?
Somewhere near here.
It's in Georgia. So it is it's not that far from here. But we lived in Atlanta. I heard of Lake Lanier.
I know. I've heard of it, but I didn't know where it was. I knew it was somewhere close by, I assumed.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to tell you some facts about Lake Lanier if you want to know about it. So the lake is located in northern Georgia, about 40 miles from North Atlanta. It's like the lake that everybody in Atlanta and the area around that area.
Kind of like their Lake Martin.
It's like their Lake Martin, which on a side note, before I get into this, everybody should look up where Lake Martin came from because it's a pretty interesting story as well in Alabama. And I actually was reading about both of them. I'd read something about Lake Lanier, and then I'd think, I wonder what's the story with Lake Martin. And I will compare it a little bit in this, but Lake Lanier is a lot larger than Lake Martin. So that might explain some of these things I'm going to tell you. All right. So we'll get back to it. Lake Lanier borders about six counties, making it the largest lake in the state.
Oh, okay. So a lot.
Yeah, it's really big. It was created in 1957 and it was built for flood control because the Chattahoochee River would flood sometimes. It would flood things. And this was supposed to help with flood control, drinking water, and hydroelectric power. Since Atlanta was growing at that time, it was booming. In order to make the lake, the U.S. government displaced over 700 families and had to relocate 20 cemeteries, including the bodies. But they did manage to move all the bodies. So still submerged beneath the lake. They were mainly unclaimed, like if the family didn't claim them, or unmarked graves.
Okay.
But they were graves, but they were unmarked and nobody claimed them.
But they still knew there was a dead body down there. Yeah. They decided not to move it to another unmarked grave. Yeah. They just left it unmarked in the bottom of the lake.
Yes. So they flooded it along with a lot of other things. Most of the buildings and roads remain intact below the lake because it was this town that we're going to mainly talk about that I feel like contributes to some of the negative things of Lake Lanier, the hauntings, the curse of Lake Lanier. I didn't really know what to call it. It's one or the other. But there is a ton of articles out there about this and podcasts, actually, because I listened to the Morbid one, the two girls on Morbid. They talk about it. They said like the houses that were wooden, they take the foundation is still there, but anything that would float up, they tried to get rid of. There was actually a full racetrack that they flooded, and it was not long ago when the lake was down. So any kind of like some bleachers they got rid of if they were going to float up, anything that they thought was going to eventually float up and a boat could hit it or it could cause. So the bleachers, like the cement bleachers, not long ago from this racetrack that they completely flooded as part to make Lake Lanier, the cement bleachers, you could see them.
That's crazy. Water.
Yeah. And that's super dangerous too. And that is another thing that could be contributing to some of these things because there have been over 600 deaths on the lake since it was made.
So what is that compared to like another one? Do you know that?
I kept looking up Lake Martin deaths, and just because I told you everything I was comparing it to, and I never could get like a definitive answer about how many deaths were on Lake Martin, but it was nothing compared to the Lake Lanier.
So 600 is really high.
600 is really high from the 1950s. So we're talking about, I think it might have been 56, but still we're talking about 70 years. And
you hear about like boating accidents and things like that on Lake Martin, but you don't always necessarily hear about like drownings or any other kind of.
It's not, there's not any weird, creepy, mysterious things. And there's not a lot of like unexplained deaths. It's not, for instance, so out of the 600 deaths, which to me, it is a lot, but yes, I did try to compare it. And I mean, they don't even have everywhere you look on Google, it tells you how many deaths were at Lake Lanier, because it's just so many.
Okay.
And then at Lake Martin, it talks about a couple of accidents that have happened or people accidents, but at boating accidents, but it never says like a number. It's nothing. It is smaller. But even since the 1990s, there's been over 200 deaths just since the 1990s,
wow.
Up to 27 bodies, at least that, or maybe more, that they've just never found. In boating accidents, drownings, things like that, they've never found it.
I don't want to swim in that lake, I don't think.
I like totally freaked out. We were asked to go to that lake several times, and I just always heard it was crowded. And I did hear of a couple boating accidents when we lived in Atlanta. I remember hearing of tubing accidents and things like that. And so I was a little bit weirded out, like, by taking the kids up there, because I just heard it was overcrowded. So I was like, nah, we'll pass. But I had no idea that it was supposedly haunted and cursed and all these kind of things. But these statistics have earned this lake one of the deadliest lakes in America. Which I had no idea. And it's like right by it.
Yeah. You know,
basically. Local divers have even reported, which this is like when you get really low, because I talked about it here, the lake is 60 square miles of water with a max depth of 156 feet. Mm-hmm. So it's super deep in spots. And they said that like some local divers have reported when they've gotten really low and like the waters were murky and they can't really see, I guess, real good. They said that they bumped into body parts.
What?
In lake excursions. Yeah, they said you just like grab an arm or a leg and it's like steel.
That's not okay.
No, I was like, this is not okay. And I read that in several different places.
Do they get rid of them? Then they just swap out of the way.
Yeah, I guess they don't bring them up or whatever with them. I don't know.
But they do like, or they don't.
They don't. But it's like an arm or a leg. I don't know. I mean, that just sounds a little, to me, that sounded a little far-fetched, but I read that several places.
I guess it could be true.
Oh. So the lake was named after a singer and poet, Sidney Lanier, who was also a Confederate soldier.
Oh, that's also the school in Montgomery.
It is. That one of the largest towns that was flooded to create Lake Lanier was the town of Oscarville, Georgia.
Never heard of it.
Never.
Well, of course, because it's been flooded.
So you've definitely never heard of it. And it was like almost lost in history. And I'll get into when it came back up. But so it was located north of the perimeter in Forsyth County. Mm-hmm. And it began as a small farming town in 1870. So for most of the town, it was a black community that was very much like thriving. And for that time, they were just coming up, the slavery and everything is just ending. They were farmers. They owned their own houses and farms, and they were doing really well. So I think the surrounding towns like Cummings, Georgia and things like that, there was 1,100 black residents and over 300 children, black children in their schools and the surrounding towns. They didn't really like how good they were progressing and how well they were doing and money they were making. So, which is very disturbing and sad. But in September of 1912, a white woman on the 5th of that month reported that two black males assaulted her in Cummings. And I mean, she was in Cummings, so I don't know why they went and
from Oscarville.
Yeah, I think it was all planned, honestly, because they were doing so well. And they made a comment about how they were going to get to boat and that worried them and things like that because they were progressing. Yeah. And so on September 7th, the sheriff, William Reed, he arrested two men, according to the Gainesville, Georgia is a town close to. News report, the news edition on September 12th, 1912, just days later. So he arrested two men. Okay. At that time, well, just a couple days later, which I think was, not long after this lady was assaulted. The body of Sleety Mae Crow was found in the woods near Oscarville. Mm-hmm. And she was unconscious at the time when they found her and they took her to the hospital. And they said that when she got to the hospital, she said that it was these black men.
I'm saying that Sleety was white.
Yes, Sleety was white. They were both the women were white. So Sleety said that, which they said that there was no way she said that because once they took her to the hospital, I mean, she died like right after it. She was unconscious. Like she never gained consciousness.
But they said that she accused,
which I mean, the other lady didn't die. So she could have, I guess, accused men. But this lady that died, I don't really know. I think that they just assumed it. So that was those two guys. And then for some reason, there was four men accused.
So two from the first lady and then two from Sleety.
Yes. And they were all children, basically. I mean, a 23-year-old, even one of them was 16, but those including was Ernest Knox and Robert Edwards. Okay, so Knox was brought to Gainesville and reportedly confessed to his crimes. But the reason that they said he confessed is because he was coerced into it. Plus, they did a mock lynching, and this was everywhere I read it, where they like scared him into it, which was so sad. And that definitely, you know, led to the false confession.
Yeah.
So
they'll say you did this. We're going to hang you.
That's exactly what they said. Yeah. And Knox was moved to a jail in Atlanta for his safety, which was one of the guys. But Edwards, the 24-year-old farmhand, was in the local jail. And a mob of angry white residents seized Edwards. And I mean, I don't want to get into it too much, but they beat him to death. And then they hung him in the town. Yeah, this was awful. And it started a wave of violence throughout the town. And they had like, so they had a lot of black churches, and the preacher, he was saying to these boys, there's no proof that they did that. And they like beat the preacher. It was, I mean, it was just so, so sad. And two of the black boys, they also were tried, found guilty, and they were hung.
Some people did not handle desegregation very well.
Exactly. That's exactly what they didn't do. So after all this happened, and the white residents of that town formed a group called the Night Riders. I mean, I think it sounds kind of like the KKK, but basically. So the Night Riders, they would come through at night, horseback, and burn down the black residents' homes, force them all to leave, like shoot up the homes.
That's just the KKK.
Yeah. That's what I said, but it was called the Night Riders.
They didn't wear white hoods.
Yeah. And so they would just come in and just basically ran them all out of town. And this is when it really came to light. There was a book written in 2016 about this, and it was called Blood at the Root, A Racial Cleansing by Patrick Phillips. Mm-hmm. And they say the book's really good. But I can't read stuff like that because it just like makes me really sad and depressed. Yeah. But I had to mention that because that was kind of the start to me of like where this bad omen or energy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was just horrible what they did to this town. And they say even to this day, like Forsyth County is only like 4% black. Like they literally ran everybody out of the community, and they just took over their farms. And they were just like, oh, these are my houses now. The white people, they just took them over. And this wasn't, so 40 years went by before. I mean, 40 years went by before they flooded this town for the lake. So this was, it just had the bad history. And the dark history of this town actually started in the 1800s. When the U.S. government forced the Cherokee Nation off the same exact land. So they took them off their land. And then, I mean, it was just like a lot of like racial and just bad.
What was it called? Owensville?
Oscarville.
Oscarville.
Yeah.
Oscarville never had a chance.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, the government. So then the racial cleansing of the thriving black town, followed by the government claiming over 50,000 acres of land, displacing over hundreds of landowners and their family. So that's what they did finally to create this lake. So it was a rough start for Lake Lanier, which is just kind of interesting that I just had no idea about all these things and all these facts, all this back history or dark history. And even like some of the years, I don't think I mentioned this before, but the lake has had over 20 deaths just in 1 year. And causes of these deaths range from boating collisions to drowning to freak accidents.
All right, so there were 600.
600 since the 1950s. Okay. Just some years in a single year, they've had 20.
In 200s, it's the 90s.
And in the 200s since the 90s.
Okay.
But just some years, like 1 year, they'll have like 20 deaths.
20 in a single year.
Yeah. And I mean, they're, like I said, boating accidents, freak accidents, drownings. Some people say that have almost drowned that it feels like someone is like pulling them down.
How are those random ass arms float?
There is some like good story.
Right.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny. You're funny. But there's been so many, I couldn't really write them all or we'd be here all day. I mean, I thought about it. We could do a two-parter, but I just figured that you can Google it and read about it because there's a lot of modern day accidents and drownings, and a lot of them are kind of strange. And there's some ghost stories. And one, not long after the lake was built in 1958, Delilah Mae Parker Young and her friend Susie Roberts were driving to a local roadhouse in Dawsonville, Georgia.
Delilah Mae.
Yeah. And apparently they got gas and didn't pay. They just left, and they were going over the crossing the Lake Lanier Bridge, and Susie lost control of the car and ran off the bridge. The women and the car disappeared, and so they knew they ran off the bridge, but I guess they just didn't really have, like, the technology in the 50s to just go, like, looking for them, which I thought
they
was
kind of weird. They can't swim?
I don't know, because a year later, one woman's body was found, but it could not be identified because some fishermen were fishing and a body floated up. And they said, I didn't know if I was going to mention this, but her arms were missing and two toes, which I was like, okay, I don't know if that was like fish or
two toes, like two big toes, two pinky toes, or
not a right. It just had two toes, I think, on 1 foot. But the hands, which they just thought was kind of odd, but that lady, okay, so they couldn't identify her. It was just a lady with no hands, right? So there was this ghost story that a lady would be, like, she'd have this blue dress on, and she'd be walking up and down the bridge, and she had no hands, and people would see her, like, yeah. So that happened.
I don't be that ghost.
Yeah, no. But then
lady with no hands.
No. And then 31 years later, they actually had to build a new bridge, and so they were kind of doing something in the lake diving. So 31 years later would have been 80s. In the 80s, they found Susie in her car, and she was inside of it.
So they found it. Died in the 50s. So these people were literally just diving in the 80s and found it. In the 50s, yeah. They could
Light off. Yeah, and so they realized that those two went together. So they were like, maybe she was looking for her friend that was still in the car.
That's why she's walking on the pier with no hands looking for her friend.
Yeah, that's what they said, maybe. But Susie, they did identify her with dental records. I guess they could do that in the 80s. But
yeah, I mean, dental records, I think.
They said her teeth were still there for 30 years, and they were like, yeah, I guess.
Hand lady, did she have her teeth?
Yeah, but I guess I couldn't.
I don't know if she had her teeth, but maybe in the 50s, I guess it was 58,
maybe they couldn't do dental. I don't know. I mean, they could have kept them, I guess, and they can go back and do them. We know that with DNA. Anyway.
Did they can do x-rays in the 50s on your teeth? 50s on your teeth?
If she was identified,
that they probably didn't like those plastered pasty things, like.
Okay. I guess they kept Susie's plastic things for 30 years because they identified her with her dental records.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. The one that was in the car.
Yeah. They found her dental records and she had no dental work done for 30 years. So they had the same thing then.
That was odd. I mean, I don't know. Does that add up? But I read it at several places they know it was her car too. So I think they just knew it was her car and they knew she was behind the wheel still. Susie was.
But they did Susie's dental record. Well, they with no hand, yeah. No teeth, so walking the pier, like.
They know that was her friend, because something like she had a blue dress on that night. They put that together. I don't know. And there was another, like,
that ghost was Daisy.
Yes. And there was another ghost story type thing, which I thought was just, I wasn't going to mention it because I didn't really understand it, but something about this one float that they see floating all the time in the water. Yeah. And it's supposedly like a ghost float, but I'm like, what is, I just thought that was weird. But I did mention it because I didn't really go into, like, the modern weird stories, but I think
I'm really intrigued.
I know, but I will say this, and the other side of things, if it not being so, like 7 million people visit this Lake Lanier every year. So if you think about that and you think about how much larger it is than Lake Martin, because it is larger, and you think about all the debris and things that they left underneath it, it seems like that could kind of contribute to the dangers of this lake. They even
had like a high amount of like accidents and deaths and stuff like that. Because I mean,
well, that's what the more people, the more accidents you're going to have and things like that. So that is a possibility. But there was a petition that they actually tried to close the lake, which what do you do? Drain it? I mean, I don't understand how you can like reverse do a lake. But they,
as there's so many people that die on it.
Yeah.
It's not the lake's fault. I mean, I don't understand. How would you drain the lake? It's not the lake's fault.
I mean, people said they were going to close it. Actually,
that's weird.
I thought it was really weird. But the petition, they were like, it's never going to happen. And I was thinking, yeah, I wouldn't. It was like on the change.org petition.
Yeah.
Lake Lanier is a destination that is used for profit by many residents and businesses and boaters. Keeping the lake open reflects the message that all lives are worth economic growth.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. So,
a lie.
I know. I mean, this is whether you believe in the hauntings, giant catfish, bad omen. Yeah, I suppose there's giant catfish the size of Volkswagens. But, I mean, isn't that, it could be anywhere. I mean, I think they've said that about Lake Martin. It's just basically, they're saying that beware of the dangers, both real and mythical, the lurking around the waters. But yeah, I just thought that was so strange because I never knew. I'm so glad I never went to Lake Lanier.
I'm going to have to do some more reading to conclude whether I think it's really.
I know, because I mean, but think about like the juju from the start. It just seemed kind of bad.
Bad. It's a bad jumping point.
Yeah. Like they're just really ticked off that they took their land twice.
I mean,
three times, actually, because then when the
white people took it over, they took relatives of people that they kicked out, and those dead relatives, they're sort of like, you left me behind. People got kicked out. They're probably not happy about it.
Yeah. And I will say Lake Martin, when you Google that, I'll just mention this. And I really got into that too. But it was, there was a town, one of the towns that were flooded for Alabama Powerball to flood and do Lake Martin. It was also a black community.
But did they actually buy the land and pay these? And they didn't just walk in and go, get out. This is my house now.
They actually did buy the land. Now, do I think they probably didn't pay him enough? Yes. But you're right.
At least they gave them something to relocate.
They didn't lynch them, shoot up their houses, burn their houses, their businesses, their
farms. Thank Alabama Power.
Yeah, they didn't do that. So thank you for cursing Lake Martin, where we go like almost every weekend. So thank goodness for that, because I definitely don't feel any bad juju there. Do you?
No, I've never felt. No, I don't ever feel good juju.
Yeah, me too. So I'm glad that they weren't forced out and all those kind of things. But I was a little disappointed that it seemed to be. And I mean, if you Google, it says about the black communities that were bought or taken over mm-hmm. to make these recreational lakes. And I was just kind of like, I mean, it is Alabama and Georgia.
I wasn't super shocked.
Yeah, I mean,
that there was the racism in the 50s.
I know, but I was pretty, I mean, I was like kind of shocked.
It's embarrassing and disappointing, but I'm not shocked.
I was surprised. That had to do with those towns don't matter as much.
They do something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I felt like now. And there was other towns. It wasn't just Oscarville and
Corey Town.
Yeah.
Really come out something new.
But the one, it was a Kalijah was the name of one of the towns, which they kept that. Yeah. And it was like the one of the guys, had made like the Kalijah Institute and all these things, but both actually on the Lake Martin issue, I just bring it up because it was so interesting to me. But one of the guys, he was actually that bought the land that ended up becoming Lake Martin.
Mm-hmm.
He was a slave on this plantation, and he ended up like getting freed, and he got money and worked and ended up buying all the land that he was a slave on.
Good for
him. I know. And then his like kids went to college, and his son, which nobody, that was not the norm in those times right after the Civil War. But he came back and he started the Kalijah Institute. But the dad and the son had both passed away before, I think and they also started the first Black Railroad in Alabama. All that got flooded for Lake Martin. But it was after they both had passed away, the Alabama Power and Russell, they bought all that land and they built the dam and they did that. Yeah. And it was just very interesting.
Did have nearly that start at Lake Lanier.
Yeah, Lake Lanier. I just had no idea.
I didn't know what you were going to talk about tonight. And that was not even on my radar.
There were so many. It's not necessarily true
crime. But it's very interesting.
It's very interesting. And it's not. True crime gets so heavy and so sad, which that obviously that.
I know. I'll be back again next week. Something else super sad, depressing.
I mean, it is still interesting.
You seriously have to like look it up because I don't have all day to talk about it. But there is a lot of stories.
I'll look it up because I'm pretty. I like hauntings.
Yes.
And things like that. For sure. But there was also a ton of like YouTube, podcasts, articles. I was like shook. I had no idea that Lake Lanier was haunted. Okay.
And that's it.
Okay, then. Thanks for listening to Blind Sleuths.
We'll be back next week.